This is your home for Atlanta Braves baseball, bringing you the latest on the Braves all year. This is the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse Report, with all the breaking news on the Braves and insiders from Atlanta to across the world of baseball.
1-1 to Olsen, and he drives one to deep center field, back at the wall, that is pulverized out of the ballpark.
Presented by Arrow Exterminators. Call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
Swung on, belted, deep right field, gone.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome in to the Braves Clubhouse Report here in the Battery Atlanta. Barrett Salee here talking all things Braves baseball over the course of the next 30 minutes. Of course, it's a big week with the Marlins down there in South Florida, then back here with three at home. Braves looking to stay hot. It's been a little bit of a rough patch in terms of the offense, but things got going last night in Miami. We'll talk a little bit about that game. We'll also talk to Javi Lopez, Braves legend, sat down with him, and we have all kinds of stories with Javi Lopez, whether it be the art of catching. He's a coach of one of his son's Little League teams, and so we talked a little bit about how catchers now operate as opposed to when he was there. We've got a great story on what Francisco Cabrera told him right before Cabrera knocked in Sid Bream in Game 7 of the 1992 NLCS. We'll talk about when Bobby Cox signed him, what Bobby Cox meant to him, and everything that went down. If you remember Game 2 of the World Series in 1995, Javi had a great day, including a back pick on Manny Ramirez. That was one of the highlights of that series. We see Dave Justice at home run. We see the final out. We see a lot of memorable scenes from that World Series. The back pick of Manny Ramirez is one that might fly under the radar. He's got a great story about that as well. Yesterday was a little bit bittersweet, of course, in Braves country, because we get news during the day that Drake Baldwin on the injured list, the 10-day injured list, with a strained oblique. At the same time, though, Ronald Acuna got brought back off the injured list, and he got his first start. So it's bittersweet, and Walt kind of joked with Ben Ingram before the game yesterday how you're kind of trading off Ronnie for Drake. And yeah, that's true. It's just kind of sad, though. And of course, without Drake Baldwin, this of all the guys on this team, losing Drake is probably the one you couldn't do without, especially without Jonah Heim in the mix. Here is Walt Weiss after last night's game, updating all of us on Drake.
Baldy had the MRI. It came back as a grade one, which is good news. It's mild. Doesn't mean I know a timeline right now, but I know when they say grade one, that's a good thing. I think that's good news. That's good news. Like I said, the obliques are always tricky, but I think we averted a major one here.
Every time we get sound in the Marlins clubhouse, it seems like they're doing construction. It's like every single time that somebody's in that clubhouse getting sound, there's construction going on. But that's neither here nor there. But with Drake, the oblique, yes, a mild grade one. All of those things are good to hear. Avert a big one. Yes, that's fantastic news given the circumstances. But I think what needs to be brought into proper perspective is that 10-day is the injured list, the paperwork, the administrative length, not necessarily how long he's going to be out. Because with an oblique strain, if you're a catcher, that's probably the worst position to have an oblique strain, with the exception of maybe pitcher, especially a pitcher like Spencer Strider when he has his. With a big lead in the division, there's absolutely no reason to rush Drake Baldwin back. There's just none. Can you go to the post with Sandy Leon and with Chadwick Trump every single day? It's not ideal. Of course, having Jonah Heim here would be really solid. He was heating up before he got traded to the Athletics. Now, would I call the Athletics and be like, hey, those cash considerations we got from you, would you consider taking them back plus about 10%? Because Jonah Heim's not really playing an awful lot, and you got to make that call. You got to ask, and you got to ask for a bunch of other options as well. Not many free agents out there on the market, but I do not want to rush Drake back. You need him healthy. You need him 100%. And an oblique strain is one of those where if you don't do it right, then things can go south in a hurry, and it can become much worse. And that's the last thing that this Braves team needs. But can we go to war with Sandy Leon and Chadwick Tromp? I would like to go out there and try to find a reinforcement somewhere else. And again, I definitely would call the Athletics and see if we can get Jonah Heim back, because he was good enough coming out of spring training to be the primary backup catcher. That's why he was signed. Sean Murphy was not going to be ready. They went out and specifically targeted Jonah Heim to be that guy, knowing they were probably going to have to DFA him at some point when Sean gets back. Then Sean gets hurt, and now Drake gets hurt. Maybe plan B, which was the plan before the season started, isn't a bad idea right now. But do not rush Drake back. You need to make sure he's good for the stretch run. And the last thing you need is turning a grade one, a mild sprain, into something that is lingering throughout the course of the season. One thing that is not lingering, or was not lingering, where it was the struggles of Ha-Seong Kim. You know, I said it, you said it, everybody said it, that the lack of offense was becoming very, very concerning. He was down in the 50s. Not 250, not 150, the 50s in batting average going into the game last night. Plus, he was making mistakes in the field. Now, some of those weren't necessarily errors, but maybe he should have gotten credit for a couple of errors. But he had trouble getting the ball out of his glove at times, couldn't turn double plays. You know, he had the line drive that was off of his glove yesterday. That wasn't ruled an error. It probably should have been. So if you're not going to be playing well defensively, if you're a liability in the field, you better be hitting. And he hasn't been until last night in the ninth inning when he had that RBI. And we've said consistently that something like that, contributing in some way, no matter how you do it, can definitely kickstart somebody who is in a funk. And hopefully that's the case with Ha-Seong Kim. Here is Walt on Kim after the game.
Look, it's been a grind. And I understand, you know, it's been people, it's hard to understand. But when you've missed a lot of time, this game is really, really fast. I don't care how much rehab you do. This is just a completely different level up here. And I experienced that as a player. He's going through that right now, but he's a very talented player. So we're hoping that, you know, as we give him time and he starts to get acclimated to the speed of the game again, that talent's going to show up and he's going to help us win a lot of games.
I think one thing that the Braves have done really well is that they have developed options around him. Mauricio Dubon was signed as a backup, straight up backup. That was his role when he was signed, because at the time Kim hadn't hurt his finger. So now that we know Mauricio Dubon is a capable starter, not only in the outfield, but also at shortstop, then if there are problems, you can easily sit him down and say, all right, take a break, get off your feet. Let's try to hit the reset button here. Because not only do you have Dubon, but you also have Jorge Mateo, who I think at this point you trust too. So is it that big of a deal that Kim was struggling a week into his 2026 season? Luckily, X is not real life, but it certainly felt like it on X and during post games. It just felt like and I understand for a team like the Braves, maybe you got to find something to criticize. Maybe you got to find the one thing that maybe isn't working well and at least address that. Fine, I get it. But I think with the way this team's built, if this continues, it's not the end of the world. The paycheck is not great. You'd be paying for it'd be a bunch of empty money that you're handing out. But on the field, this team is able to handle something like this if it doesn't improve. Those two things, though, pale in comparison to what the biggest news item was last night. It wasn't the win. It wasn't Michael Harris's home run. It wasn't the performance from the pitching staff, Martin Perez, it wasn't any of that. It was Didier Fuentes, his two-thirds of an inning. That was the biggest thing that happened yesterday, because he's a reliever. He's a reliever. He's not on this team to be a starter. He made the team out of spring training to be a reliever. If he was going to be part of the starting rotation, they probably would have given us indications about that now. But he pitched on back-to-back days. And Walt even mentioned it after the game. Like, that was a big part of his plan, was to get Didier at some point on that mound in back-to-back days. And he handled it just fine. Two-thirds of the inning, he did walk somebody, but not a big deal. So now that he can build off that, what's the ceiling for him? Elite reliever. I believe he can be an elite reliever. Is that going to be his home for the rest of his career? No. Walt has said consistently that back in the day, getting into the bullpen, getting comfortable, moving into the starting rotation was how starters were developed. And it happened here with the Braves, with Max Fried and Kyle Wright. That's the trajectory Didi Fuentes is on. But for now, he can be a superstar out of the pen, and yesterday was another indication of that being the case sooner rather than later. We'll be back. We'll take a break when we come back, though. Javi Lopez, I sat down with the former Braves catcher, talked about the 1992 NLCS, 1995 World Series, and everything throughout his career. You'll hear that next. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Spring is back in Braves country, which means it's time to get your yard ready for the season ahead. Cookouts, backyard catch, friends and family together, your lawn is the backdrop to it all. So this season, get your lawn ready with Pennington and keep it strong all year long. As a proud partner of the Atlanta Braves grounds crew, Pennington is all about thick, durable grass, built for life's big and small moments. Pennington Grass Seed, available at the Home Depot.
Hey Braves fans, spring and warm weather are officially here, and you know what that means. Bugs, termites, mosquitoes, ants, and roaches will be out in full force. Luckily, you can trust the pros at Arrow Exterminators to keep your home pest-free inside and out. Arrow Exterminators protects homes and businesses and is the official pest control provider of Truist Park and the Atlanta Braves, so you know that you're getting the best from the best. To set up a free pest inspection, call 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com. That's 888-GO-ARROW or visit arrowexterminators.com.
Now, here's more Braves talk from inside the clubhouse. This is the Atlanta Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome back to the True Studios here in the Battery, Atlanta. Barrett Salee here talking all things Braves baseball. We'll preview the pitching matchup for tonight's game, Game 3, against the Miami Marlins coming up in just a little bit. But like I said before the break, got the chance to sit down with Javi Lopez early last week. Here's my conversation with the Braves legend. Braves legend Javi Lopez joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
It's great to see you, and obviously a lot is going on with the Atlanta Braves, you know, this year and really since Brian Snitker got the job, and now with Walt Weiss. Just impressions of how this new era of Braves baseball looks for somebody who was really there from like the beginning of the Bobby Cox era, or at least close to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing how the team changed from last year to this year, and how Walt Weiss is actually managing the team. It's been a great start so far, and hopefully the team continue doing the same all the way through. Because they got the players, they got the pitching, they got everything.
They really do. As a catcher, what do you make of Drake Baldwin?
Amazing. It's a great kid. It's a kid that he can hit, he can catch, he can run, he can do everything. So he's been a great, you know, acquisition for the Braves.
Obviously, the sad sort of, you know, month or so with Bobby Cox passing, and you know, you coming up in 92 and being, you know, sort of the first wave of the new era with the Braves and the success. What was your first experience meeting Bobby Cox? What was that like?
Oh, I told that story not too long ago, and it was when I was playing Little League. I was scouted by Paul Snyder. Mm-hmm. He was a biggest scout for the Braves, and Paul Snyder, you know, used to go to Puerto Rico and watch me play. And before he signed me with the Braves, he called Bobby Cox. Bobby Cox, at that time, he was the general manager. Mm-hmm. And he went to Puerto Rico to watch me play.
Bobby Cox
did? Before they made the decision to sign me, he went to Puerto Rico and watched me play. And I remember that game where he showed up. I was like, okay, I need to look good this game. I need to get a couple of base hits. I need to catch good. I need to do everything perfect as I can, in order, you know, to get a chance to sign with the Braves. So unfortunately, I went on for four. I hit the ball hard twice, but at least I remember getting somebody out, one or two guys out in second base. But the fact that I went on for four, I was devastated. I was actually crying. Like, after the game, I'm like, oh, man. Anyway, with my eyes still watering, I was able to meet him after the game, and he told me, you know, I saw everything I need to see, you know, even though I didn't have any base hit or anything. But he saw the way I swing, he saw the way I throw, and that was enough for him. And he was super nice, and that was, you know, the memory I never forget.
So from the moment you signed to coming to, you know, the mainland and getting your career started in the minors, what was that, you know, sort of transition like for you?
Well, I knew it wasn't going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be, but once I started playing in the minor league, I felt like a horse, you know, with the ice block and focusing on, you know, my goal, mm-hmm. which is make it to the big league someday. So kind of ignore who's competing for the catching position in the minor leagues. And I was focusing on myself to make it. Mm-hmm. So I guess the fact that I wasn't aware what these other people were doing and focusing on what I'm doing, it helped me go through it.
A lot's been made of Bobby getting thrown out of all those games, 162 total, a full season worth of ejections. Talking to the players, it seems more like he was defending them more than anything else. There's this idea that he was a hothead, but he's not. He just knows that he needs to defend you guys.
This is a guy who always got your back. And he actually got mad at me quite a few times because I was arguing with the umpire. Mm-hmm. He came out of the dugout. He pushed me away because he's the one who wants to get thrown out, not me. So and eventually that what really happens. He ended up getting thrown out, tried to protect me. And, you know, at the same time, he was a bad call. That's why I was arguing with him.
Right.
So he do that to any players. But the fact that he was getting mad at me for arguing to the umpire, I was like, okay, I love you.
Protect me. Right. So, you know, for you coming up, what did working with him teach you about not only baseball, but about life in general?
Well, how to be responsible, how to separate your childhood for an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people get spoiled back in the minor leagues, and you're not a kid anymore. You have to, you cannot depend on all the coaches telling you what to do here and there. Once you get to the big league, you have to be responsible for your own training. You have to be responsible for your own, you know, pretty much routine. Mm-hmm. You have to ask questions. You know, you have to take care of yourself. You cannot depend on somebody else to take care of you. And following rules. So, you know, you became more mature playing with Bobby. Understand that you have to separate the childhood from the adult and take responsibility. That's one of the main things that he really helped me out a lot. He's not a guy that really have a lot of rules. But the few rules that he had, you have to follow it because you don't want to see Bobby, you know, in the bad mood.
It's funny, too, because now with Walt and with Snit and, you know, everybody since then, there's one of the rules is you always leave the A on the hat visible. You don't put your sunglasses over the A. You only can put them backwards. What does that do from a culture standpoint?
Well, I mean, and also that you have a practice jersey mm-hmm. that you have to wear all the time today. A lot of people, they wear like a batting practice, like a windbreaker, mm-hmm. stuff like that. That's not part of the team uniform. I mean, you have a practice jersey, you have a practice hat or a game hat. You have to wear it. This is what you represent. This is what, that's the image you're going to provide to the people out there watching you playing and watching your practice. You have to be presentable and look professional out there. And, you know, he was a follower on that.
All right. So I was 12 years old when 1992 happened. That was your rookie year. And Francisco Cabrera, obviously, was one of the biggest moments in Braves history, knocking Sid Bream in. I heard a story that he told you before that game, I'm going to win this game.
Absolutely.
So that happened.
He told me, we were talking in the bullpen, mm-hmm. and he told me, I'm gonna get that base hit. He didn't say we're gonna win the game. I mean, he told me I'm gonna get that base hit if they put me as a pinch hitter. And he knew that he was gonna get called for a pinch hitter. He was actually getting prepared in the bullpen because he knew he was the only guy left to pinch hit. And when he went out there and got that base hit, I was like, you son of a, you did it, you did it. And we hugged each other. We were like celebrating like there was no tomorrow. But he completely told me that he was going to bring it. He was going to get that base hit.
I've always
happened to be the game winner RBI. That was awesome.
That's awesome. That was one of the biggest, you know, sports moments in this city.
Yeah.
It was awesome. So speaking of sports moments, you know, game two of the World Series in 1995, you had the pickoff of Manny Ramirez, and I think you had a home run in that game. How often do you think about that World Series?
All the time. It's the one World Series that we end up winning. And I was fortunate enough to contribute doing the pickoff at first base and the game-winning home run. Those are the two things that I did to help the team win. And very proud, and can't forget it.
Did you know you were going to backpick Manny? Was that something you knew?
Yeah. A couple of pitches before, I knew he was taking a big lead in first base, and he was walking back to first. Another pitch, he was taking a big lead, walking back to first. And I was trying to get the attention to Fred McGriff. I kind of, you know, scratched the ground, and he gave me the sign that he was going to be covering first base. And the next pitch, I wanted to call it up and in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so to make sure Gene Tolman, who was hitting, not swing at that pitch and give me the opportunity to just turn and throw it.
That team, looking back at that Indians team, I mean, it is like a who's who of just mashers on that team.
The Cleveland team?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah.
When you're preparing for that World Series with your pitchers, what's that like looking at that lineup thinking, my goodness, there are no breaks in this lineup?
I was focusing more of what we do, I mean, of our team more than them. Mm-hmm. We went through the scouting report, but I try not to make it as a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just another team we're going to face. Because in that situation, the calmer you are, the better you play. You know, don't try to, you know, stay away from pressure. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. And that's what I did. And catching out there, I was so relaxed, ready to play, just like another game. And I with that, you know, the fact that we were playing with an unbelievable lineup. Mm-hmm.
What, as being a catcher, and you have kids now too, how has the art of catching changed from when you were there to now what these kids are dealing with now?
It's a total different. I can hardly teach kids how to catch anymore. The mechanic, the targeting, the framing, everything is different. I mean, I kind of know a little bit now. I mean, I've been studying what's the new mechanic, the new way to catch it is right now. So I've been teaching the kids, but, you know, it's not what I've been taught. Mm-hmm. What I've been taught is a totally different way to catch.
How were you taught compared to these kids?
Well, the one knee down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I couldn't put my knee down because, first of all, Leo Mazzoni didn't like it. Pat Corrales didn't like it. It's something that in case they throw a breaking ball,
yep,
it was going to be hard for me to block it because I got one knee down. It was hard for me to move. But it really don't. I mean, I wish I would have put my knee down so I can, you know, save my knees.
Right.
It would be a lot nicer for me, and it would be more, I would be more fresh.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. Right now, I'm not against it. I'm not against it. It's just a new way to catch. Yeah, in some cases, like with men on third base, I would like to see the catcher put those knees up and make sure you block that pitch however way he can, because with one knee down, chances are it's going to be a little bit harder, mm-hmm, than if you had both knees up.
What would you make, or what do you make of the ABS system? How would you have treated that back in your day?
I like it. I like it. What I mean, the timing, the replays and all that stuff, I kind of like it.
What would you do? Well, how would you handle that with Glavin and Maddux and Smoltz and that crew? Do you think that would have put a lot of pressure on you?
Yeah, that would have been, it would be a different game for them, for sure.
Those that want to go check it out, it's playingwiththeheart.com. You can get all the information there. Javi, it's been great to meet you. Great to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Talk about baseball, pleasure. Talk about heart health, all that stuff.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
As a matter of fact, we're going to have a tent in at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Through the woman's heart. Mm-hmm. They're going to be educating people about the bad cholesterol, mm-hmm, and people can find out more about it.
Awesome. Well, it'll be great seeing you around.
I'll be there too.
Braves country appreciates everything you've did, so thank you.
Awesome. My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Braves legend Javi Lopez. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll preview Wednesday night's matchup between the Braves and Marlins. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report on the Braves Radio Network.
The Braves Clubhouse Report on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Hyundai gives you America's best warranty on every new vehicle. It includes a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty, plus 24/7 roadside assistance. That's peace of mind from Hyundai. And these days, that's priceless.
Lease a Hyundai Tucson for $239 a month, or get 0% APR for 60 months or $3,000 bonus cash. Hyundai is a proud partner of the Atlanta Braves. Offers end June 1st. Call 813-867-0006 for complete offer details.
They call this one Bill.
Whoa, aliens? Am I in a spaceship?
Affirmative, Bill.
What's with the laser saw?
An Xfinity mobile transmission says you can cut your bill in half.
Oh, your mobile bill, not me, Bill.
Xfinity Internet members cut your mobile bill in half. Plus, try Xfinity Mobile free for a year. No commitment. Learn more at XfinityMobile.com. Restrictions apply. Savings compares one line of Xfinity Mobile Select to comparable plans from T-Mobile, Verizon, and AT&T as of 3/24/26. Taxes, fees, extra. $30 monthly discount limited to new mobile customers only. After 12 months, regular rates apply.
All the latest on the Braves live from Truist Park in the heart of Atlanta. This is the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.
Welcome back. Wrapping things up here on the Braves Clubhouse Report. Braves look for a win, another win against the Marlins tonight. Jansen Junk gets the ball for the Marlins, a 22nd round pick in 2017 by the Yankees. He's 2-4, has a 4.14 ERA. Of course, it's a Chris Sale night tonight. He's 6-3. Hopefully he gets some run support, because he has not over the last two outings. For a leadoff show at 5:25, first pitch between the Braves and the Marlins with Ben and Joe, 6:40 p.m. from Lone Depot Park in Miami. That'll do it for the Braves Clubhouse Report. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week here on the Braves Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us for the Braves Clubhouse Report, presented by Arrow Exterminators on the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Join us each week for all the latest updates from Braves Country as we keep you dialed into the Atlanta Clubhouse. This has been a presentation of Dickey Broadcasting Company, the Atlanta Braves, and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network.